Joined right now by the head football coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. He is entering his fourth season with Minnesota. He is a Big Ten Coach of the Year. He led Minnesota to 11 wins for the first time since 1904. Minnesota won 7 Big Ten games for the first time in school history. They finished 11-2 last season. They ranked in the top 10 to finish off that season. They have their season opener October 24th. Number 20, Michigan, is at number 25, Minnesota. We are joined by the head coach of the Golden Gophers. That, of course, is PJ Fleck. PJ, you know there is only one way that you and I are going to start this conversation. How are you doing today, PJ?
Doing elite, Jim. Thanks for having us on the show, man.
I knew it. It's great to have you back, Coach. Thank you very much. You know, I had Colorado coach Carl Durrell on the show a couple of months back, and I referenced this because he was talking about the fact, PJ, that a prospect of a fall without football seems something that was so foreign to him because he'd either played or coached football in the fall for his entire life. When the season was initially postponed, what kind of thoughts were you having about a fall without coaching football?
Well, besides starting to plan, you know, for what was coming and finding out what that was going to look like, I mean, football has been a part of my life for the last 25 to 30 years. And I think that's every football coach. That's pretty much everybody our age, football players or coaches. So being able to have that sense of normal out of your life was a little bit different. It was unique. And especially when you even couldn't go in the office, you had to do everything virtual. You had to find a way to be able to do what you were doing and find a way to do it better and keep changing your best. But you had to find alternate ways to do that. But to have that one thing, whether it's players or coaches, that one thing that gives us all a little bit of normalcy taken from your life really was one of those things we all had to be able to change with and adapt with.
We're talking PJ Fleck. In terms of that change and having to adapt, like, for instance, one of the things you said after the initial postponement was, quote, whoever handles this better for longer is going to win. It seems to me it would have been really easy for you to be really frustrated and really angry. I mean, there was so much momentum coming off that amazing 2019 season. How did you go about handling that time after the postponement and making sure that you flipped that thing on its head and you did stay positive?
Yeah, first and foremost, you know, within our program, we always talk about 1 year has nothing to do with the following year. And 1 year is its own entity. It's its own season. It's its own team. We have different fingerprints on this team than we did last year. Do we have some players back? Sure. Are there a lot of new faces? You bet. Is this a different character of a team? Yes. And so it's a different fingerprint. So we've said that in our program since 2017, 18, 19, and now 20. So that didn't change much. The one thing we did tell our players was whoever does this better for longer is going to win. Not only that, whoever does it just right. So when this all started, we read Goldilocks and the Three Bears to our players. I know it sounds crazy, but we can't do too much. We can't do too little. Everything we do, academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually, has got to be just right. Just like that porridge was just right. So we have three bears at practice. They're all over the place. We've got bears all over our facility. You would think we're the Minnesota Bears. We got bears on shirts. Just to remind them, everything we do, especially with this bubble, has to be just right.
PJ, did the players know the story about Goldilocks and the three bears, or was that something totally new to them?
You would be surprised. I'd say about 90% had never heard of it. never had it been read to them. But that's kind of why we did it, because if you go all the way back to Goldilocks and the Three Bears, things we were read when we were kids, there's still that lifetime lesson built into that book that can be used in a 2020 pandemic of COVID-19 within the country right now.
We're talking to PJ Fleck. That really is funny. That's great. So let me ask you about Rashad Bateman, the 2019 Big Ten Receiver of the Year. Previously announced that he was going to opt out this season, then he opted back in to play this year. I'm curious, what kind of conversations did you have with him during that process, and what does his return mean to the team?
Well, as all of our players, you know, I look at Rashad as my own son, and we had constant communication up until he opted out, and then even when he was opted out and during when he was opted out, and then obviously afterwards. But, you know, Rashad never really wanted to opt out. You know, he opted out for all the right reasons, all the health concern reasons. He has asthma. You know, he's going to be possibly a first-round draft pick. And, you know, this whole word of the year is empathy, of making sure you put yourself in someone else's shoes. And, you know, I've never had a chance to make that much money as a first-round draft pick as a player, so neither have a lot of our other players. And so everybody supported him. We knew he did it for all the right reasons. But as it got a little bit closer and we knew that the season was possibly going to come back, And then when it did, him and I had a very short conversation. Literally, I got the call from the Big Ten and my athletic director, Mark Coyle. They said the season's on. I immediately called Rashad. And all I asked him was, well, you want to come back? And immediately, without hesitation, he's like, absolutely. You know, I never wanted to be out of that anyway, coach. You know, I never wanted to opt out. And the teammates accepted him with open arms. He's a big part of this football team. He's what Row the Boat's all about. He's a wonderful humanitarian, a great person, an advocate for change. And we're really glad to have him back.
PJ Flagg joining us to that point about him being an advocate for change. In returning this year, he's going to wear the number zero, which represents zero tolerance for racism and calling for an end to racism in society. So how much pride is there for you when you see players stepping up like that?
Well, it's huge. You know, we always want our players to be able to use their platform in a very positive way. And when we define positive, it's about connecting people, not dividing people. And I think Rashad has been able to do that with the number zero. Not only that, he was big in being able to form what we're calling the HEAR campaign here right at the University of Minnesota in our football program, which stands for Helping End Racism with Education. And we're doing a series of classes once a month to be able to educate our players on not just black history, but also where racism came from, what it looks like, how to identify it, what we've been through in our life, and having a professor come in and teach that time during American history of when racism was the biggest and how it's affected even today and how we've got to today. So Rashad's been incredibly impactful in our Twin City area, on our football team, and definitely with the HEAR campaign, with obviously George Floyd being killed here, I think that even means more meaning with what it means and the acronym it has. So I'm proud of our team for being able to put it together. I'm proud of our team for connecting people in a positive way and wanting change to happen in America.
Minnesota Golden Gophers head football coach P.J. Flagg joining us once again. P.J., what about Tanner Morgan coming off a season where he threw for more than 3,200 yards and 30 touchdowns? I'm curious, what does the next step in his growth and development look like?
Well, he's got to find a way to change his best. You know, and Mike Sanford, our new offensive coordinator, who's coached a ton of NFL quarterbacks, ton of drafted quarterbacks, has really, I think, taken our fundamentals and techniques to a different level. And I think Tanner has really soaked all that in. He's a student of the game. He's a coach on the field. But now it's basically mastering and owning the entire offense, not just knowing it, not just being able to run it, but now teach it to everyone and be that coach on the field. And I know he's being able to develop into that. We're really pleased with his progress. He's got a long way to go. He's got to continue to change his best, but that's the type of mentality he's always had and always will have.
Hey, PG, I'm curious, back in May when you and I spoke about your desire to find ways to spend time during the pandemic, ways to improve, ways to be in a situation that when it was all over, that you could say that you and your program came out stronger than before. Where are you in that process right now?
Well, it's been interesting because right now you're in a combination of training camp plus in-season hours. So you're not able to have that normal training camp. But we have done more football than we ever have, Jim. And any season, that's been one positive because when the pandemic hit, everything turned right to Zoom. Everything turned to online. So when we were out recruiting normally, and we'd be off campus for a month, and we wouldn't have a lot of contact with our players, we were constantly Zooming meetings, position meetings, team meetings, offense and defense, positional, special teams meetings. So we got more football than we ever have. Now, practices, we didn't have that, but we were definitely going to take advantage of the time we had positionally more than we ever had before. So we've sold that to our players. Our players responded really well to it. And, you know, since we've been able to come back, it's been a healthy combination of everything.
We're talking to P.J. Flagg. P.J., one more topic before I let you go. Back in August, the team tweeted out a video of a new DB lining up against Trayson Potts. And while he played a very physical brand of football, he definitely got the best of Potts on that rep. Of course, that DB was you. How would you grade yourself on that particular rep?
Well, it wasn't about that particular rep. It was the nine others that I lost. But since you're the head coach, you put the one that you win out there.
There you go.
So it looks like you're actually better than you are. But I'll say this. I got pretty lucky. He's a really talented player. He's a running back. And he's a freshman, and he's going to have a bright future. He's going to play a lot for us. I mean, Trey Potts is one of the best players on this football team right now, and we're excited for his future. But, you know, when you get close to 40, I'm going to be 40 next month. You know, you need to be able to have one of those that you win that just makes you feel like you can still play and then celebrate it.
Listen, I'm watching it right now again. I've seen this a few times. One of the things that does jump out to me is you're still getting after it. You're still getting after it in the weight room. You're still staying in shape. When you're the head coach of a major football program, as well as a father and a husband and a friend and so on, there are so many demands on your time. It would be very easy to let your own physical fitness go by the wayside. I'm curious, PJ, what is your regimen like, and why is it so important to you to maintain that discipline and that focus and to throw the weights around?
Well, it's so important is because, one, I love my family. I love my own children. I love my wife to death. And then I love what I do. And when you have a combination of that, you want to do it for as long as you can do it. And I want to do it in a way that I enjoy doing it, which is only one way, one speed, with one passion, purpose, and energy. So, for me, you know, I got into cycling. The running on my back has been a little bit different. So I gave up running. Now I'm cycling. And, my wife, she kind of makes fun of me because I'll go all out. Right, I got the gear, I got the helmet, I got the bike, I got the GPS, I got the lights. But I'll cycle in the morning, and the days I'm not cycling, I'll do a mirror workout. I'm big into that mirror deal in my office. So those are the things I do. And then, you know, I have a Whoop as well. Coach Sanford and I, my offense coordinator, we compete against each other every single day of where our output is and where our strain is. So we have plenty to go around to compete and practice. That's another workout that you can continue to add. But this job's hard enough, and it's definitely hard if you're not in shape.
I got a question for you really quickly. Can you achieve, and this for any of us now, can you achieve the mental toughness that you're looking for without grinding it out physically? Like, if you're somebody who's addicted to the workforce and you've got that work ethic and you don't have time to get that physical workout in, can you be mentally tough without paying that price physically?
Well, I think physically, that's only one piece of the pie to be able to pay that price. You know, if you want to change, you got to pay the price of change at some point and somewhere in your life. You're going to have to give up something to get something you've never had, period. So whether that's physically, whether that's mentally, whether that's emotionally, we call it, those are our three fires. And all three of those fires have to be burning when you need to perform. And if you haven't invested in all three of those throughout the day, how can you be able to change the next day? So that's our philosophy on it. We want to continue to change our best, and the physical part's part of that. But the biggest thing is the mental toughness. It's the mental toughness. Some days just getting up to go work out, even if the workout isn't very good, just getting up to do it is a win, right? So the mental, we believe in mental toughness only in this program, and then that takes over everything else in your life. That'll tell everything else physically what to do, emotionally what to do. So that's kind of where we hang our hat on.
Love that topic. Minnesota Golden Gophers head coach P.J. Fleck, he's entering his fourth season there, and they do open up their season October 24th, number 20 Michigan at number 25 Minnesota. That's a big one. P.J., appreciate you. Stay elite, and it's always good to have you on the show.
Jim, appreciate you having us on. Brother Boat Scotty, my go Gophers. Thanks.
You got it. P.J. Fleck, if you watch that video, he still looks great. He's still getting after it. All right. I told you that would be an upbeat, positive, elite conversation, and it was.